that good? Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Thank you so much. Turn with me to the book of Luke, please. I found that every time I read the Word of God, when I devote myself to reading the Word, not just scanning the words. Do you know there's a difference? When you read to say you've read, and then when you read to absorb. And I always admonish you as members of this church to don't read too fast, because some of the smallest phrases and little words in this word, in the living Word of God, become so important to your life, and they are so powerful when you go back and see what the Scriptures say. I don't think there's a time that I've read the Word of God that God didn't show me something new. I know that His Word is so different than any word. I came to this conclusion one day. I was driving down the road many years ago, and of all people, Dr. Maurice Lednick, he was riding with me. We were riding along, and we were talking about the Scripture, coming back from a conference, and I said something about a word. And all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I got a spiritual glimpse of what this book that I hope you're holding, if you don't, you need to get one and bring it to church with you, what it holds. Because unlike any word, or any printed word, or any Bible, or any book, any book that you'll ever hold in your life, the Bible is different in the fact that it is alive. How many know that it's alive? And let me explain to you what I mean by living word. As we were driving down the road and I was mentioning something to him, I said, you know, I believe that you can take this Scripture, and that you could take one word out of this Bible that's alive, maybe a word in any other book in any other time, just a word, but written here, I believe that you could preach for the rest of your life and not exhaust the revelation of one word in this living word. As long as you could preach, you would have something to say about that living word. And as I was looking at that and I was talking to him, I said, you know, I see something different about this Bible than any other book. Whereas any other book is printed words on a page, the Bible, the Word of God, this gift, how many of you know this is a gift? Yes. This is an incredible gift. My brother-in-law, Guy Heifel's the president of Life Publishers, and they do their best to send Bibles all over the world, and I don't know how many nations and languages they have now, but it's probably near 100 or maybe more than that, Bibles that are printed, and they don't just print Bibles, they print one they call in China the Fire Bible. It's a spirit, it's a full-life Bible, study Bible. But I thought how precious it is in some countries for people to have a copy of the Word of God. This gift that God gave us is so incredible in this worry that whereas normal pages are printed or words are printed on a page and you read it for face value, the words on this book are eternally full of information. It's depth. It's almost like looking down into a row of mirrors where it looks like they're endless. Have you ever done that before? That's how this word is. It's an endless source of truth. And it's an endless source of strength. It's an endless source of healing. It's an endless source of power and wisdom. Have you ever needed a pick-me-up in the middle of the day? Yeah. If you have, say amen. Amen. This is the way to get a pick-me-up, because it's living word and it's an endless source of strength to the believer. That's why it's so important that you read the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you absorb the Word of God. I've read the Word of God in quiet times. I do every day. I read the Word of God for study, to preach, and ask for the anointing of God to rest upon me so I can feed the flock that God's given me. But there have been days of trouble. Have you ever had trouble? If you have, say amen. There have been days of trouble when I've taken this Word And I've laid it on my chest and I've held it near to me and prayed that God would allow this word to protect me from the fate or from the problem or from the attack or from my own doing and heartaches and trials. And I've held on to his word as a source of strength, as one would a lifesaver in the middle of the ocean. This word is an enormous strength to the believer. Amen? And everything that you need on the face of this earth, this word refutes the lies of the world today that tell us that Jesus Christ was just a good man and a good prophet. He was not those, although he was. Jesus Christ was God in flesh, Emmanuel. There is no little way to say it. There's no minimal way to put it. He came to earth as a man, but he being all man was all God in present. Amen? We see the promise of him coming and the truth of him coming. We many times this time of year go directly to this story in Luke chapter 1, where we see Matthew and Luke talking about the birth of Jesus Christ and how it came about and how this angel, this great mighty warrior angel Gabriel, was sent to make this word so clear to this teenage girl and tell her what God was planning. And in Luke chapter 1 in verse 32, the Bible says this, and I'll never forget these words, and I can tell you Dr. Gorman sitting here with me will never forget these words, not just because they're printed, but one day we were sitting in a car in Springfield, Missouri, and Sister Gorman was in the front and Dr. Gorman was in the back seat and I was driving, and I was taking them to Maranatha Village to show them how it had grown because he helped begin that great ministry there. And I was showing them all the immensity of the area, and I had served on the board of that place, and we were showing how it grows. And as we were coming around the front by the chapel, here came a great old statesman by the name of Dr. Paul Loewenberg walking. Slowly now, 93 years old, a tower of a man, and a statesman in the kingdom of God, walking along. And as he did, I pulled beside him and hit my electric window on Mom Gorman's side, and the window went down. And when it did, I said, "Dr. Loewenberg." And he walked up to me and he said, "Son, you'll have to tell me who you are. If I had lunch with the Queen of England yesterday, I wouldn't be able to remember it. I have Alzheimer's." And I said, "Well, it's Sam Connolly. Keep on, keep on. Ruthie Howard's husband, Maxine and Gail Howard's son." "Oh, Sam. Oh, yeah. How's Ruthie doing?" "You didn't know, but that's her name outside of here." I said, "She's doing great, Dr. Loewenberg." And he was talking there, and I said, "Do you know who's with me?" And he looked at Mom Gorman, and I hit the window for Pop's window to go back in the back, and I'm going to go ahead and tell the whole story, Dr. Gorman. And I hope you're not tagged with the truth. But as the window went down, Dr. Loewenberg looked in the back seat and he said these words, "Kid Gorman." I looked back and I said, "I didn't know your name was Kid Gorman." He said, "It's not to you." Kid Gorman, he knew you, didn't he? And as soon as he said that, he said these words, "I have a message to preach. Let me tell you about someone who has the word in them." Listen to me, it's one thing to have a topical understanding and an ointment of the word that soothes and comforts you in a day of sorrow or gives you a little inspiration to go through a hard world, but it's different. It's different when the word is in you. It's a different story. Let me tell you the difference between people that live it and people that talk it. It's people that have the topical anointing and those that have the indwelling word of God in their life. I can tell you the difference in attitude of people who love and live and forgive and go on with life in heartaches and trials, and we've all had them. The person that has the word of God inside them is a different creature. They're a different individual. spiritual. They're a different person. Dr. Loewenberg said, listen to this word. He said, I have a title, and he shall be called great. And when he said those words, I had goosebumps as big as doorknobs pop out on me because of the anointing that was on that old man of God as he spoke it. When we drove away, I turned around and I said, did you feel that? And this man had tears in his eyes and I had tears in my eyes because there was a servant of God who did more than just read it and talk it, but he lived it. The word was inside of him. My friends, I want to talk to you about the birth of the Word this morning. The birth of the Word this morning. It was more than what we read. It's unthinkable to even consider that God brought out into the open His character to man. That's what this is all about. He exposed His character to man. To this point, we had worked through prophets and we had worked through priests and sacrifices, but there was a day when God said, I'm going to expose myself to individuals, whereas they don't have the hearing of the word, but they have the indwelling word inside of them. And it's going to change them like no one's ever changed them before. It's going to revolutionize them like they've never been changed before, because the word inside of you will cause you to live a life that is acceptable to the Almighty God. Here's what happened. To think that he opened his character, delivered by majestic warrior messenger angels to shepherds. What a contrast. What an incredible contrast. The angels of God begin to speak. One started it out, and he said, hold on, don't be afraid. Let me explain something to you. Something marvelous is about to happen. Something incredible is about to happen. We're about to offer you the opportunity to look inside of the heart of God and see who this one and only God is that's made himself available to you. Do you understand God's made himself available to you? It's not just the birth of a baby in Bethlehem. That's the beginning. But something that I want to tell you this morning, that it started far beyond that and way before that, when the prophets were moved on by this incredible word. In Luke chapter 1 verse 32, he said this, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. Pause. Forever. And ever. And ever. And ever. And ever. And ever. And that means today he's in charge and he is reigning over the house of David today. That means he's in control. Even if I'm out of control, I'm just happy. I'm as happy as the angels. I'm as joyful as the angels that came from heaven, that never left his presence, that was never separated from the very presence of God. And still they were joyful beyond words. In fact, the Bible says that an entire host of the army of the angelic host came and began to sing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. They began to sing, isn't he wonderful? Remember those old songs? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? The angels began to talk to these shepherds who were bewildered and absolutely awestruck because God was opening himself up to mankind through the word. They didn't wait for a month or a week or year, but the Bible says they went to find him. How do you know that they found him? Because it said they went to the manger where he was. He was brand new. And they looked into the eyes of a baby. Can you imagine? Can you even comprehend what it would have been like to look into the eyes of a child that you had just been told by supernatural beings that this is God in the flesh? You say, well, he's just a baby. Listen to me. Anybody that tells you that hasn't had the experience I've had, because I've never looked into the face of Jesus as a child or an adolescent or an adult and not seen God. He was God. An incredible experience. The most unbelievable experience. They looked into the face of the promise they'd heard about. Malachi chapter 4 talks about one of the most incredible stories that ever is. It says this, that surely the day is coming and it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. And that day and will come is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But to you who revere my name, who want to have the word more than something you read and talk about, but I'm talking about a church of God today getting ready to start 2010 that say, God, I don't just want the word to be on the outside of me, but I want this life-changing experience to be result in my life that would reflect Christ in everything I do, and I want the word in me this year. How many say amen to that? He said to you who just said amen, to you who revere my name, the word, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. When I read that, I began to cry. I was by myself, and I can cry by myself all I want to. I can cry by myself in my car. Anybody ever done it? I can cry by myself in my home. The only reason I don't cry here is because I've got some more things to tell you. But I can sit down right here on the side of this and see that the word of God that said was and is and forthcoming is still active, and there is healing in the wings of the word. And I can stand under the shadow of the Almighty God, and whatever area of my life, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually, that I need healing, he said that there's healing came with the baby. I have the word in me. For those of you who revere his name, he said that the Son, that the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out like calves released from a stall. I can't dance, or I would. Why? Because it's more than something I've read. It's more than something you've told me about or I've heard preached. I have the word in me. And it causes me to have joy to know that there's healing in the word. And every area of my life is covered through that promise. I go back even further. I go back to chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah. Listen to what he says. And listen to the description of the word. It's an incredible thing. Chapter 9 of Isaiah says this, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. How many say, I'll take some of that? Amen. That's the word he's talking about. I'm going to get to it. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. If you've ever been in distress, raise your hand right now and say, Father, I'm ready for the word to be in me. Just lift your hand and say it right now. Father, let the word be in me right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, right now. No more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee and the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. He is the one who lived and preached in Galilee. You see, he's talking about the word already. He's forecasting what's to come. This is just a little insight as to how God took a prophet and gave him just a touch of that introduction of the word in his life. And the second that the living word entered the prophet, he began to prophesy. He began to write under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and the inspiration of God became his pen, and he wrote the word that gives us a guide path and a road map to getting what God has for us in the word, Jesus Christ. He said, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a great light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. Listen for this. Here's your adversary. This is talking about your enemy that tries to destroy you. Whatever that you have allowed to become your enemy, this is what it's talking about. Some of you, yes, you love Jesus Christ. Yes, you serve him. But the pressure and the wearing and the heartache and the trials of life have caused you to allow fear to become your enemy, or doubt to become your enemy, or questions, or hurt, or words to become your enemy. But it says this to you, listen, as for your enemy, or as for the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burn. They will be fuel for the fire because of one reason, and it's because of the word. Because for unto us today, listen to this, for unto us today is born a child, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Oh, you think he's talking about John? Everybody go, no. You think he's talking about Elijah? Everybody go, no. He's talking about one individual. He's talking about the preeminent Son of God, Jesus Christ. And while he was sitting on the throne next to his father was taking some of the word and dropping it in the heart of Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ on this earth. But the word was indwelling him, and he was telling you that all power and glory and honor is in the word. Amen. He said this. He will be called, say this with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of the government and peace. In short, he's the head of state. He's the head of state. Oh, Pastor, I know that will be someday. I know that will be someday. He goes, what do you mean, Mary, Martha, come up here. They said, well, we know that there will be a resurrection someday. We believe, oh, we believe you. It's just, you know, someday. I want you to understand something. And I want you to think about that. If you think in the historical significance of this foretold prophecy of Jesus, the event, the life, and the outcome, and not in the present and future, you are living without the ongoing effect of Bethlehem in your life. What do you mean? I mean, his birth is only the beginning of a continuing expression of God's involvement in your life. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a continuing expression of who God is, opening His character, inviting you in, allowing you to accept or reject, to just have it so far or drink it in like the woman at the well. But I'm going to tell you something that's true and absolute, that this prophetic word that Isaiah talked about, that the prophets talked about, that Malachi talked about, that all the things that happened was actually something that we don't just have on the outside and experience, but it's a drink from the well that will change who you are. This baby came, and the unimaginable happened. What's the most unimaginable thing? This has been going through my heart. The other night I was praying at a meal, and the Lord touched me and spoke to me such a clear word as I was looking around. I couldn't believe it. As I was thinking, I thought, God, look at everything in this room. It was a gorgeous room. It was elaborate and all kinds of things. And I thought, first I was looking, I thought, God, how'd they make that? How'd they do? You ever look at a building or something and thought, how'd they do it? I mean, I was here when they built these columns, and I don't know how you did it, Steve and Dale and everybody, and Bill and Russ, everybody that helped, Bud, all of you. I don't know how you, I watched you and don't know how. But some things are so incredible, I think, how'd they do it? You ever had one of those days of looking? And as I was looking, Dan and Teresa Saglin-Binney, I didn't even see you till right now. As I was looking, I thought, God, how'd they do it? Guess what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, it all come from this earth, every bit of it. And I thought, oh, God, look at these silver lights. How'd they? This? The carpet? The microphones? It all come from the earth, every bit of it, from the earth. And I was thinking, God, it's all in the earth. Everything. Everything came from the earth that you created. And then this thought hit me. The unimaginable is that the Almighty God redeemed His creation. He bought back what was already His. Can you believe that? Why would God, who is the Almighty, and there is no God beside Him. Every other name that you see attached with God on the end of it, the God of the Philistines, the God of the Hivites, of the Jebusites, the God of the Canaanites, it's all little g. There is only one God, and He alone is God Elohim, and there is no other. And He, John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and what everything that is created that was created is created by the Word. You know what it says? Everything. Everything. Yet He bought back what was already His through the price of this baby. Through the price of His Son. God, what kind of friend are You that You would take me who have betrayed You and denied You and walked away from You? My God, what kind of friend are You that would redeem me? And I begin to understand a little bit more about the character of the baby in Bethlehem. How God sent Him to walk 33 and one half years on this earth, and I, who am His creation, have even questioned the Creator. Who do I think I am? And I all of a sudden begin to understand how great He was. And I understand now when that angel stood before Mary and said, and He shall be great. He meant great. He meant great. He shall be wonderful Counselor. What an incredible title. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This is who He is. But here's the good news. The most incredible news. The fact that He came with healing in its wing, in its wings. The Son of Righteousness rose in us. He conquered hell. If He did, say amen. Amen. He destroyed sin. Yes. He healed sickness. Yes. He paid everyone's ransom. Yes. He freed the captive from the grip of Satan. Yes. And He is the active expression of God in current day, powerful to live inside of you and I. What a God. What a God. So how do I react to the birth of Jesus Christ? It was my introduction. It was mankind. It was human introduction on a global scale of God the Creator, who created through His Son the earth and everything, the fullness thereof, the Bible says, who not only created it, but redeemed me back when I was His to start with. And loves me so much now that He said, not only will I forgive your sins, not only will I reinstate you, I will justify you with my blood. And it's as if it never happened. And then I will receive you into my presence, where forever you will be with me. I'm going to tell you something this Christmas for Sam Conley, and you're welcome to share with me. But this Christmas, I am more convinced than ever before that you will not know me by what I say, just my words. You will not know me even by righteous actions, but you will know me by the effect of the Word in me. Yes. That's the dividing factor. You can tell me all you want to. You can say all you want to. You can act and do what you want to. But the Word in you will change your life, and it'll cause you to surrender to the great holiness of God. And I want to tell you, the Word outside of you, this message will irritate and aggravate and cause you to be upset and mad, because you understand, you believe, you have rights to your feelings and actions. But when the Word gets to inside of you, you surrender to everything, including His majesty in your life. And you become different. And the world knows it. And then that Word that's inside of you changes not only you, but those who you come in contact with. I can't tell you how much the Word will change what comes in contact with you. Let me read something to you very quickly. Listen to this. He said this. Jesus had been with the disciples some 40 days in Acts chapter 1. After He'd suffered, after His suffering, He showed Himself. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After His suffering, He showed Himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while He was eating with them, look at this, they were putting food in them, but what they didn't understand is sitting at that table, they were getting the Word in them. Because He was speaking. How many believe the Word of God is food to the soul? Yes. It's a nourishment to the soul. Do you, He said, listen to this. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gifts my Father promised, which you have heard me, the Word, speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. the indwelling word. So when they met together, they asked him, and they had all kinds of questions. But let me tell you what he said in red letters in this absolute, incredible, living gift. He said that I'm going to take you a step farther than just topical understanding. I'm going to put you into the inner holy of holies, into my presence. And I'm going to indwell you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What a God. What a God. Undeserving. More so than the shepherds with an angelic visit. More so than anyone else. I'm the greatest of sinners, but he is the greatest of saviors. And his word dwells in me. And because of that, I don't have place to live in my past. I don't have place to live in my confusion. I don't have place to live in my thoughts or actions. I must surrender to the word that's in me and become the word in my heart. Amen? What a God. You see, here's the message this morning. The message is that when Jesus came, the baby, Jesus Christ, was the gift of God to us. But explain something to me. Was it just a one-time gift or is it an ongoing gift? An active expression of God and current power for my life today. His influence is everlasting. His mission is ongoing. He brought healing that is actively available as a gift from Bethlehem to you today. And I'm talking about every type of healing that exists. He did not categorize healing. He said, come unto me, all you. And Mark, the 6th chapter of the Bible, says that Jesus went around the countryside, and when people would hear that he was coming, they would lay the sick out, and that the very shadow of him would touch, and all of them were healed. So, Pastor, I don't even have a cold right now. Maybe not on the outside, but you may have an enormous wound on the inside. You may be the receiver or the giver of one. You may say, Pastor, I have things in my life I don't want there. Or I have situations that I'm dealing with this morning. I don't want to fear, but fear sometimes overtakes me. Look at me, everybody. I wish I could say this differently, but I don't know another way to say it. Join the crowd. Because fear tries to overtake me too. And I go to the Word, and I say, Father, if it was just an outward expression, but I have you through Jesus Christ, the Word in me, and through the power of the Word, that gift. You see, the ongoing character of God. Jesus was born. He performed miracles after miracles. And when he died, he said, I'm sending you the Comforter. But he didn't die. He just went transition from life to life. And he sits at the right hand of the God today, of God today in the throne room as a dispenser of his word into your life through the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. So whatever's troubling you, Malachi said it would be broken. Isaiah said that he was the wonderful counselor if you need counsel. He said he was the Almighty God. He said he was the Prince of Peace. He said he was in control of everything. And this morning, I want to tell you at this Christmas message is this, that the gift is still giving. The gift is still giving. There's not an area in your life that the gift isn't active if you ask for help this morning. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to prayerfully bow your head right now with me. Because I believe with all of my heart this message was ordained by God without question in my mind, that there are folks on this Christmas time of year that are saying this: Pastor, I want to have the fullness of the joy that this word talks about. I want to have such a life-changing experience in my heart that I won't be affected by the surroundings around me. Or God, I want to have a witness that's so strong in my life that people will know it's not a topical, but the word is in me. My friends, listen to me. If the word is in you, it will change you. If it's not, you will continue to struggle with the same difficulties and frailties that you struggle with, and it is not worth it. But today he's saying, I will comfort you, I will strengthen you, and I will impart to you the ongoing attributes of my character in healing. If you need healing, I am not going to name anyone. I said he heals everything. But if you need a touch this morning, struggles, heartaches, hard times, fine, it doesn't matter, physical, I'm going to ask you to stand right now where you are. You want that word to come into you right now. Stand quickly. Don't look around and wait for someone. Stand.